treatment and recovery is difficult. There's just no two ways around it. So let's talk about how to get through those rough parts. Let's talk about how to get through the ups and downs of treatment and early recovery. Hi, my name's Jeff Jay, and I want to take a little time to address this topic. I went through treatment myself many long years ago, and in the first couple of weeks, I wanted to leave every other day. My parents and the treatment team really had to talk me down and get me to commit to staying one more day and one more day and one more day until I really got into the swing of things. I want you to know that this is not unusual. Most people go through an emotional roller coaster early on in treatment, where one minute they're thinking it's the best thing they've done for themselves in a long time, and a few hours later they want to leave, and they want to leave right now. What I want to stress is that when an alcoholic or addict wants to leave treatment early, it's due to a few different things going on with them, all of which are normal and expected. You as a family member need to be prepared so that your loved one doesn't hoodwink you into going along with their ill-advised plan. First, when people want to leave, they are invariably experiencing some form of cravings to drink or drug again. As we used to say as counselors, they're getting thirsty. Of course, they don't say to family members that they want to leave because they want to go to the bar or smoke crack. Instead, they typically tell family members why the treatment program is terrible. They come up with any number of complaints. Nothing is good enough for them. The food, the counselor, their bed, their roommate, and the list goes on. Sometimes they declare that the treatment staff is brainwashing them. As family members, be prepared to hear these things so you don't react by helping them leave treatment. You will feel like you are rescuing them when in reality you are unwittingly aiding their relapse. Second, the brain chemistry of an alcoholic or addict in treatment isn't even close to normal, even after detox when the brain is free of mood-altering substances. Quite the opposite. The brain chemistry is disrupted to the extreme and is now trying to find its way back to normal. And this takes time. Think of a pendulum swinging wildly from one side to the other. That's your loved one's brain. As it tries to achieve equilibrium, it overcompensates, which causes random and extreme mood swings. The person can feel great one minute and then terribly anxious or depressed or angry the next. This is a direct result of unbalance in their brain chemistry. Addicted brains are injured brains. These mood swings cause restlessness and irritability, which can result in the addicted person just wanting to abort the treatment process. They have a strong urge they can't deny. Get me out of here. But that's the worst thing that can happen. They need to hang in there and ride this out with the best support possible. If they leave before they truly stabilize, there is only one thing that will make them feel better: a drink or a drug. Third, as people in treatment begin to feel better, and we can't say this enough, they begin to believe that they have everything under control. So, they think, they don't require more treatment. Families hear statements such as, "I have no desire to ever drink or drug again. I've got this." Those statements can be music to a family's ears, but be forewarned. Statements such as these are signs of impending relapse. Why? Because the addicted person is now in a state of overconfidence about their ability to stay sober and, at the same time, are underestimating the power of the disease of addiction. Many relapses begin with overconfidence. When a loved one wants to leave treatment because they've got it and know they won't drink, that's when you know they don't have it and will most assuredly drink or drug again if they leave treatment. So, as a family, what do you do when confronted with any of these scenarios? First, make no promises. Instead, there are a couple of things you can say. Ask your loved one to give it another day or two in treatment. Ask them to bring the issue up with their counselor or with their peer group during group therapy. Then get off the phone. Call the counselor, even if your loved one didn't sign a release of information, meaning the counselor can't share information with you, you can share information with the counselor. Explain that you are concerned about your loved one and that they are planning to leave treatment early, and briefly describe the conversation the two of you had. A skilled treatment team is quite successful at helping most people make better decisions and stay in treatment. However, they can't convince all people. If your loved one is stubborn about leaving, first, do not pick them up. Make sure other family members and close friends won't pick them up either. Ask them to listen to this SNAP training. If you did an intervention and wrote bottom line letters, fax or email them to the counselor so they can use them to persuade your loved one to stay in treatment. If you never wrote bottom lines, go to the intervention workshop on this website. Scroll down to Section 2, Chapter 4. Listen to the SNAP training, decide on bottom lines, part of the intervention workshop, and follow the directions. Key family members should all listen to this and write bottom lines to share with their counselor. Remember, bottom line should be loving. When a loved one wants to leave treatment, stirring up anger is never a good strategy. So the takeaway for this SNAP training is that wanting to leave treatment early is fairly common, but never a good idea. As family members, we can make good decisions on how we will support treatment and not the disease of addiction. That's it for now. I look forward to being with you on the next SNAP training. Goodbye, everyone.